The destination of this coach is Hazard, Kentucky. We do there at 5:15. For your convenience, there's a restroom located in the rear of the coach.
You gonna get sick? Huh? Oh my God! He's coming at you!
When it comes to two-year-old Olivia, James, you are not the father.
You've irritated the tool gods. You must now be smeared with the holy grease of disdain.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. It's JG's Radio Free Insanity with your host, James Gutman. Yo, Gutman. What's the ish?
What's up, kids? How are you? This is James Gutman. You are tuned in, and you are listening to JG's Radio Free Insanity. Today it's Friday. It's St. Patrick's Day. It is March the 17th. It's 2006. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. You picked a great show, as we say every week, because, well, every week's a great show. Yay. This week we're going to be joined on the phone line by Jimmy Hart, WWE Hall of Famer. He's our first WWE Hall of Famer here on the Radio Free Insanity. Jimmy Hart works for every professional wrestling organization ever, of all time, ever. If it was there, he works for it. If you started a backyard promotion 10 minutes ago, Jimmy is already doing promotion work for you. One of the cool things about Jimmy Hart, the guy has a great relationship with so many companies. Not one of these guys is going to come on the show and just tear people apart. He's got stories to tell, but it's definitely kind of a different air about him. Very kind of happy guy. Happy guy to be around. So that's going to be cool. That's going to be an hour or two or part two. Stick around for that. Take a listen, and you will enjoy it. And first and foremost, let me give you guys some site notes, as we say we do all the time. If you be sure to check out the site this weekend, if you're listening to this before the weekend hits, we're going to be having live Saturday night's main event coverage from Mallory Molly. That's going to be on the website. So check that out as well. We'll be covering that show. And let's talk about Saturday night's main event, since we're already talking about Saturday night's main event. One thing about it, and the thing about Saturday night's main event is I don't want to talk about it in the future tense, because chances are this is going up on Friday. Saturday night's main event is on Saturday, so if you're listening to this anytime after that, it'll all be outdated. So let me just talk to you in the kind of the big philosophical sense, okay? And let's talk about one of the matches that I have a major problem with. At Saturday night's main event. And that match is Randy Orton teaming up with Kurt Angle, teaming up with Rey Mysterio, to take on Triple H and John Cena. I think this is a horrible idea, and I'll tell you why. One of the things about professional wrestling that always makes it pretty cool for a lot of people out there is the thought that two men that are going into the ring, or three guys are going into the ring to fight each other, can't stand each other. That's how you sell a match. It's always been kind of it. I mean, of course there's intrigue and there's drama and there's all that, but at the end of the day, it's about two guys who can't even be near each other without wanting to strangle the other one. And that's why people buy the matches. They want to see this violent blood feud. And in that sense, WWE is really dropping the ball as it relates to WrestleMania. And they've been dropping the ball the last couple of years. I mean, little things happen. Contract signings. I've never been a big fan of contract signings. I always thought these two guys hate each other so much, you really shouldn't have them in the same ring at the same time before their match. You got to kind of create this idea in the fans' minds that these two guys can't even be within a few feet of each other, because they just can't stand it. They want to kill each other. WWE doesn't really do that anymore, and that's kind of sad, and I do miss that, because it definitely adds intrigue to a match, and it definitely makes you want to see it more. You want to see these two guys that want to rip the other one's heart out, so that's pretty cool. So they do contract signings, they do the face-to-face promos, and all these things that I'm not really a big fan of, but it works, and over time it happens. What I don't like about this is that the match that has the participants in it, for the tag match at Saturday night's main event, the matches that they're in aren't just regular rinky-dink, two guys don't like one another matches. These are the two main events of WrestleMania 22. And to me, I think that that's a big mistake. I think that if you're going to have Hunter and Cena facing off against each other for the first time for the world title, this big pay-per-view, maybe you shouldn't have them teaming up with one another. Maybe you shouldn't have them coexisting right before the show. Same thing with Angle, Mysterio, and Randy Orton. I just think it's a conflict of interest, and I think it hurts your match because it takes the focus now off of these guys fighting one another and kind of puts it on them fighting opponents. I mean, there were definitely other ways to go about this. You want to have interpromotional matches at Saturday night's main event. That's great. One of the main issues, and this came up last week on Raw when Randy Orton came in and gave John Cena the RKO, it reminds fans that there's other matches that they're not seeing. Okay, I mean, by and large, most of the things on Raw are stale. Most of the things on SmackDown are stale. The last real area they can go into right now is these inter-brand, inter-promotional matches. So you got Orton on one side, John Cena on another. And to some people, that's kind of a dream match. Orton kind of at the top of his game on SmackDown, Cena on Raw. The two of them never really crossed paths all that much because one was on one show, the other was on another show. So you have Orton come in, give Cena the RKO, and people watching at home go, hey, Cena and Orton would be pretty cool. You don't want them to think that before WrestleMania. You don't want them to think Cena versus Orton, hey, that would be a good match, I wish I could see that. You don't want to sell another dream match when you're supposed to be selling this quote-unquote dream match between Cena and Hunter. To me, that's counterproductive, and it definitely hurts things. The same thing, you're going to have Hunter in there with Rey Mysterio, you know? I mean, you're going to have all these matches that people might watch and go, hey, that would probably be cool, you know? Why don't they do that at WrestleMania? You don't want people second-guessing your WrestleMania matches prior to WrestleMania, and that's a problem that WWE created. Now, keep in mind, all right, with the absence of a guy like Orton, or there's an absence of Orton and Cena, and going in there, when I say an absence of Orton and Cena, I mean if it was just going to be a tag match where the matchups were going to be things like Kurt Angle and Triple H, which you've seen 1,000 times, or Kurt Angle and John Cena, then it would be okay. Again, still, it's taking people who should be focusing on their match on Raw and kind of spreading out their issues over on SmackDown, and I think it definitely waters down their main conflict, I think. If Hunter is going in there to go after John Cena, you know, take back my title and my precious. If he's going in there to grab the title back, I think the last thing WWE should be doing now is having him focus on Randy Orton or having him focus on, you know, fighting Rey Mysterio. And even, you know, no matter what happens in the match, and even if in the end it all kind of goes back and leads into selling their conflict against one another. If there's a big split between Cena and Hunter at Saturday night's main event and it leads to their conflict, which there probably will be, even that, it's still not good because prior to that match, WWE has wasted a week or 2 weeks taking the focus off of Cena and Hunter's match and spreading it out to the SmackDown roster. And to me, I think that if you want to sell me WrestleMania, sell me WrestleMania. Don't water it down. Don't offer me alternatives that you're not going to sell me at WrestleMania. I think that's a problem. And they're doing it also with this, with the Shawn Michaels and McMahon match. They want to sell Shane McMahon against Shawn. So there's Shane out there, and they do all the Shane stuff, and Shawn, you know, gets upset with Shane and all that other extracurricular activity. But in the end, WWE is trying to sell its biggest pay-per-view of the year, and they're doing not a good job of it, if I'm being 100% serious with you guys. They're not really doing the type of job that you would expect them to do when they're heading to WrestleMania. So, I mean, that's my issue as it relates to Saturday night's main event and WWE's biggest pay-per-view of the year. Now, look, I mean, I know the answers that people have for that. Saturday night's main event is a big deal. It's going to be on NBC. WWE wants to have it picked up again, and that's all understandable. The problem is that thought process and going into the main event trying to get more of a permanent role on NBC, it really hurts the product. I mean, because the focus shouldn't be on Saturday night's main event. It shouldn't be on that. It shouldn't be on the first show of the year. If anything, Saturday night's main event should be done to really sell WrestleMania. And in reality, what we've done now is we've kind of overlooked WrestleMania so we could sell Saturday night's main event, and it's hurt a lot of the matches going in. That's just my opinion. I think it's watered down a lot of the show. It's watered down the card, and even if everything gets back on track as of Sunday, you know what I mean? Like, if by the end of the main event, everybody's got their issues back going in the right order, everybody knows who they're fighting, everything is focused again, it still doesn't change the fact that we haven't had focus for a few weeks as it relates to Hunter and Cena and Vince and Shawn, excuse me, all these other matches that they could have really been working on, and WWE hasn't done that. They've really changed their focus on what they were going for. But you know what? And this is what's funny. about professional wrestling. Whenever one promotion kind of hits a snag and does a misstep, it seems like the other promotion does the exact same thing. And let's talk about TNA. Let's talk about TNA's pay-per-view, and let's talk about Jeff Jarrett's big surprise, being Scott Steiner, big Papa Pump, coming to TNA and taking out Sting. And gotta be honest, not a big fan of that either. Now look, I know where people are coming from as it relates to Big Scott. Scott Steiner is a name, and he's somebody that people remember, and he's somebody that people recognize, and he's a huge, jacked-up guy. You know, you could fit 3 Chris Sabins into Scott Steiner's biceps. I get that. I understand that. I know where they're coming from. What TNA fails to realize, and they're hitting it now with Sting, is that you can't just latch on to the person's last successful performance and say, that's who we want. And I know that probably talked in a circle right then, but I'll explain to you what I mean. You bring in Kevin Nash, okay? Kevin Nash, at WCW's height, when he was an outsider and too sweet and the Wolfpack and all that, was mad cool. And he came out there and he did all his cool late 90s stuff, and people loved it. So TNA brought him in. Problem with Kevin Nash, though, is that wasn't his most recent appearance. His most recent appearance was in WWE, where he sucked all the energy out of the building, put people to sleep, broke his ass walking across the ring for some reason. Kevin Nash, by the end of his run in WWE, was held together by spit, glue, bubblegum, and good intentions. And in the end, they brought him in and couldn't really grasp why people weren't applauding. Well, it's because he's not the Kevin Nash that you thought you were getting, and he's not too sweet, and he's not the Wolfpack. This is the Kevin Nash from Hell in a Cell with Hunter that people didn't really care about. That's who you brought in. A wrestler's only as good as his most recent appearance. Same thing, and you bring up Sting. I mean, I like Sting a lot. I think Sting is probably the best out of the bunch in terms of how they've presented him, but Sting's most recent appearance wasn't the final Nitro. Sting's most recent appearance was in TNA, teaming up with AJ Styles. Kind of a low point in the company's, you know, early beginnings. So, even Sting kind of lacks that oomph, you know what I mean? Now, Scott Steiner, and I've gone on record as saying this before, I like Scott Steiner in WCW. All right, I enjoyed Scott Steiner in WCW. Scott Steiner couldn't move in WCW. He was having the back problems. He was having all the injuries. But for some reason, I still loved watching the guy perform in the ring, on the mic, doing his thing. And the thing that I liked a lot about Scott Steiner was that he would come out, and one of the things that he would do is he had this kind of realism to his character that a lot of people didn't have. He would come out and he would do the jacked up horny guy speeches where he'd talk about taking a guy's woman and showing her what a real man is and taking her to Nirvana and all that stuff, and that was always cool, and I enjoyed that about his character. Then he went to WWE, and WWE ruined him. And I mean, I'll say that point blank. WWE ruined Scott Steiner's character for a good few years because Scott Steiner had a great character in WCW. He was the ultimate heel. He was huge. He was crazy. He was horny. He had all these heel characteristics about him that you expect to see Scott Steiner at a bar in the corner staring at people, you know, and beating them up. That was his thing, you know. If you ever went to a crazy kind of seedy bar or some jock bar and, you know, there was that one crazy guy in the corner breaking beer bottles over his head and eating cigarettes out of the ashtray, it's Scott Steiner. Scott Steiner is the bottle-breaking, cigarette-eating guy. So that's what he did in WCW. WWE brought him in as a babyface. And what's worse about it is that when you do that, it kind of negates the whole character. So they negated his character in his feud against Triple H. But Scott had been off of wrestling so long. He had been away from WCW, and even when he was in WCW, he still wasn't competing on a weekly basis because he was injured. WWE really didn't factor that into the equation, and they put him immediately in a high-profile feud against Triple H. But Steiner showed up and really couldn't perform in the ring on that level that WWE was looking for. So what happened? Well, the fans turned on him pretty damn quick. I mean, he went from zero to Cena in 10 seconds. He went out there against Triple H. He fell. He dropped him. A lot of bad things happened during that match. And then what was ironic about it is that WWE continued to push him in this high-profile situation. I think they had a rematch after that. There were so many things that came on after that where Scott Steiner was put in a position to look bad in the ring. Once that was done, he got involved in these weird, meandering storylines where they kidnapped Stacy, and I didn't kidnap Stacy. It was so stupid. What was it? It was like Test was managed by Stacy, and Steiner wanted her, so they fought over Stacy, and if I win, I get Stacy, and then Scott Steiner wanted to fight Test and said, well, if I win, I get you, and then everybody thought he wanted to bang Test, and it didn't make any sense, and it's like, well, I guess Scott Steiner likes the dudes, and I don't know. By the end of it, it really made no sense, and it hurt his character a lot. Does that mean TNA shouldn't assign him? No, it doesn't mean TNA shouldn't assign him. TNA should assign him. Does it mean that TNA should have introduced him in the manner in which he did? Absolutely not. Scott Steiner, because of his last run, much like Kevin Nash, should have been reintroduced. Scott Steiner, debuting in TNA with weekly promo videos. Scott Steiner is coming to TNA. Get the James Earl Jones guy, Scott Steiner. You know what I mean? Just and have the video for it and the whole nine yards and have it every week. Scott Steiner hype that he's showing up in the company, that would have been cool. Then have him show up, do interviews for 3 weeks while you get him back into the swing of things. Do that. TNA didn't do that. TNA really treated him as if this was, 2001. He just retired and he's coming back. You know, there's this big, kind of like the show closing moment. And that's a mistake on their part because TNA has such a huge roster and such a great amount of talent waiting to be brought to that next level that if they don't take advantage of it, it kind of makes you wonder what's going on. TNA has to look at their history now. And I mean, they could talk about ratings, and they could talk about spikes in ratings, but TNA has to start looking towards their future and start to realize that if you bring in some of these older names and put them on top, what that now does is that occupies a spot that you could put a younger guy or a new face into and kind of build them up. Now, I know what you're saying. You're turning around and saying, yeah, but Samoa Joe or Chris Daniels, they're not ready for that spot yet. Maybe in a year or two, they'll be ready to main event. And I know what you're saying, and I get it. The thing with TNA, though, they have such kind of a tied-up main event slot. They have Jeff Jarrett, they have Christian. I mean, they have people who are solidly in that spot. You take one guy, you take a Samoa Joe, you take a Christopher Daniels, you move them up to the main event slot, and you put him there. Is it a bit early? Yeah, maybe it's a bit early. But I guess what? If you don't bring anybody else up, and you just bring up one of those guys into the Scott Steiner position, and you work with them for 6 months, I guarantee you by the end of it, that person will either be in that spot, or you'll know for sure that they don't belong there. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And if you don't do that, you never know. And instead, you get a roster full of Rob Van Dams, or people turn around and say, I wonder what it would be like, Samoa Joe, what would he be like on top? What would he be like in the main event? Well, there's one way to find out. Put him in the main event. If he sucks, not to use him in the main event. If he's great, that he's a main eventer. But until you give someone that opportunity, it's never there, and it's always going to be potential. And in wrestling, that's a scary thing, that potential moniker, that kind of, I wonder what he would be like in that position, and then they never get that position. And then people wonder about it forever. And that's the problem. So TNA, in my opinion, kind of made a couple of fundamental mistakes in introducing Scott Steiner. Should they have signed him? Yes. Should they have brought him in the way they did? No. Is it going to hurt guys who could probably carry the company in the future? Yes, of course it is. I don't even feel bad saying that because, in all honesty, Scott Steiner isn't going to carry TNA into the next decade. I mean, he knows that. You know that. We all know that. He probably doesn't want to carry TNA into the next decade. He doesn't want to wrestle for forever. He came in for, his deal. He'll do his thing for a while, and that's that. TNA really should have thought ahead about that. Maybe introduced him through interview segments and seen how the fans reacted to him before putting him right into that position against Sting, of all people. I mean, it's very WCW-like, and I hate using that term because we use it in a derogatory way, and usually when we say, oh, it's very WCW-like, we're talking about, shitty angles or bad storylines, but in reality, this is WCW-like because it's WCW-like. It's Sting, and it's Scott Steiner, and Jeff Jarrett. I mean, it's three guys who were really kind of on top at the end of WCW, doing their thing on top of TNA. 5 years later, you have to, shrug your shoulders and be like, what are you guys doing? You have such a great talent roster. Start pushing some of those guys up. Do different things. Don't do things that worked all the time. But there you go. I mean, and you know what? in the grand scheme of things, depending on how this plays out, and depending on how a lot of these storylines play out, and I'm not just talking about TNA, but Saturday Night's Main Event, too. I mean, long term, everything is correctable in this business. That's what's great about wrestling. Everything. Everything is correctable. No matter how many missteps you take on one day, you can always correct them the next day. The real thing here is whether or not the promotions see their errors and are willing to correct them and are willing to admit when they've made a mistake or when they need to tweak something. And if they do that, things can always be correctable because people always ask that. They go, oh, so cynical, so angry about everything, man. Not everything sucks. No, not everything sucks. But the trick in this business is to see what sucks, admit that it sucks, and fix it. And that's what these two companies need to do. Last thing you want to do is piss everything that you've built away. Oh, wait a minute. What did I say? Piss away? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our moment of insanity. Oh, yes, it does. WWE, which has found a way to put bodily fluids on everybody. Worms on everybody. And you name it. It's been on everybody. I mean, they've done everything except green slime people for saying, I don't know. So, you know what? Let's stop teasing it. Let's stop talking about it. Let's just bring it on. It's this week. You voted for it, guys. Moment of insanity. Let's cue it up.
All right, JR. Time for your colon surgery, and everyone on I'm Dr. Heine. I want you to meet Nurse Robert Knockers.
It wasn't my fault. Fear is only a four-letter word.
As voted by you, the readers of WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, it's this week's Moment of Insanity.
Hey, what happens?
It's better to be pissed off than pissed off!
Say rolling around, sitting on doves, can't lie, I was high on shrubs, cooling in my Escalade. Man, I'm paid, I got it made. Take me to your special place. Close your eyes, show me your face. I'm gonna piss on it.
Love is gonna love, I don't even want
none of the above. I want to piss on you.
Yes, I do, I'll piss on you, I'll pee on you.
Set your body, it's a porta potty, and a pee.
Yeah, that's right. This week's moment of insanity is Shawn Michaels dumping his urine on Vince and Shane McMahon after using a line that my dad used to use all the time. It's better to be pissed off than to be pissed on. That was the kicker line for that whole thing. Yeah. Definitely the moment of insanity. I mean, this was kind of, for those of you guys, let me give you some background real quick. Shawn Michaels was drugged last week by Stephanie McMahon and her evil Prego powder, which, by the way, happened to be last week's moment of insanity. Ironically enough, it's just the insane feud continues on. So Stephanie McMahon drugged Shawn Michaels last week. He went to the ring. He was stumbling all over. You know, he came off like Scott Hall on an independent show, falling all over the ring, getting beat up by Shane. Then Vince pinned him, and then I think Ed McMahon pinned him. You name him McMahon, they came out and they pinned him. That was the entire storyline. But then after that, apparently Vince decided to get some of his talent wellness goons together, some of his little doctor scientists, and, you know, came out and told them, we're going to test Shawn Michaels. We're going to test his pee-pee, and we're going to see if his pee-pee has bad stuff in it. And if it does, he's screwed, and he's out. So what he does is Vince then gets a scientist guy in his little white coat, Professor Frank, and they go to the ring, and they have Shawn Michaels come out, and Shawn Michaels fills up a 2-liter bottle of Coke or something with pee. I've never seen anybody pee this much in my life. So it was this huge, even Vince was like, oh my God. I mean, obviously it wasn't really pee, but it was way too much than they should have had pee. That might have been the best moment of the entire thing, was just the sheer amount of pee that Shawn Michaels had. I mean, how many times do I say pee? The sheer amount of urine that Shawn Michaels get out of his system. So anyway, they do the whole thing, and then Vince, you know, oh, and then we're going to test it, and you're going to be in trouble, and blah, blah, blah. And then Shawn Michaels threw it on their face. So there you go. And then I thought that the angle itself was stupid. I guess there's a loophole, and I kind of convinced myself of that. It's that Vince told him, if you refuse to take the piss test, you know, if you refuse to pee in the cup, we're going to not let you wrestle me at WrestleMania, and you won't be able to wrestle Shane. You'll forfeit both those matches. And then Sean threw it. And I remember thinking to myself, well, are they going to test the damn thing? Oh, I guess that's the loophole. So, guys, here you go. If you ever go in and get drug tested at a job, all right, and they tell you, they go, we're going to give you a piss test. Now, if you refuse to take that test, you know, if you refuse to piss in the cup, you're going to not get this job. And if you fail, you're not going to get this job. Here's the loophole. You piss in the cup, and you bring it out. You let them all see that you pissed in the cup, because now you've done that, and you can't get in trouble. And then you throw it at them. Once you throw it at them, they can't test it, but you've already peed in the cup, so you get the job. Works out for me. So that's what Shawn Michaels did. He threw the piss at the McMahons, and they were like, oh my god, it's piss, and they were running around. Oh, la, la, la. I don't know. I mean, it's stupid. I mean, you know it's stupid. We all know it's stupid. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, analyze it in this kind of, you know, great, wise sense of saying, oh, well, it didn't make logical sense. I mean, it's not supposed to make logical sense. It's a stupid skit that's supposed to be silly. I get that. The issue that I have with it is that if there's ever two guys feuding that you don't need to be silly and do stupid shit with, it's Shawn Michaels and Vince McMahon. And I think I said this last year as it related to Eddie Guerrero and Ray and Dominic. When you have two guys who have a good enough backstory, and you could probably hold their own as it relates to microphone time, and as it relates to microphone time, sounds like nap time, microphone time or in-ring action, when you have two guys that can hold their own in that respect, you don't need stuff like this. An angle like this would have been better suited for, Eric Bischoff, the GM, feuding with, I would say Chris Masters, but that might be a little too close to home if you haven't taken a piss test. But, you know, Eric Bischoff and some low-level guy on the roster. I mean, it would have sold it, and that would have been cool. And if they would have done this piss thing with a guy like, I'm just throwing a name out there, I don't know, Shelton Benjamin, Rob Van Dam, any of those people. If you're going to have them do the pissing in a cup, Van Dam probably wouldn't work either. God damn it. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. You get somebody who's lower level, who can't really do the thing on the microphone, and you have them participate in stupid pee angles and all that stuff. Shawn and Vince have enough of a backstory that they shouldn't have to be throwing piss at each other. I mean, that's just the way I see the situation. I think a lot of people see it that way, too. I mean, Shawn Michaels is the type of guy, he's been with the company forever. I mean, on and off since the 80s, you know, and you don't even know by looking at him. I make the jokes, he looks like Ben Franklin and all that other stuff, but I mean, Shawn's still a fairly young guy. He's been in wrestling for a long time. He's had a long career. Vince McMahon is old, but looks great for his age, and can still compete at his age. Vince McMahon is in his 60s, but really, I mean, just looks ridiculously, I mean, he looks ridiculous. I mean, he's just huge and could just kill you. I mean, whoever's listening to this, it'd kill you. So he's a big guy, too. So the two of them, they can sell their match against one another without having to do things like this. I always thought that stunts like this and spectacle like this should really be saved for matches that need extra promoting in order to get over. I don't think Vince and Shawn need this kind of promoting in order to get their match over. If anything, I think it's just taking away from their general conflict. I think that it's taking away from what can be a good feud. I mean, there's so much to these guys. And these are guys that, you know, I mean, you screwed Brett, I mean, but there's also so many other things in their past that they've been through. I mean, Shawn Michaels was notorious in the late 90s for being a pain in the ass. And Vince said that the first time that they started and introduced this angle. Shawn Michaels was a pain in the ass in the late 90s. The guy was arrogant, he was all over the place, he was doing politics. And whether or not that's 100% true, I mean, it's perception. And in this business, as we said before, it's all about perception. So most people thought that Shawn was like that. Most fans know Shawn is like that. And a lot of the hardcore fans and the rumors and all that, I lost my smile stuff. People are under the impression that Shawn used to be a pain in the ass. So there's no reason why, if they're going to do this whole Shawn Michaels is born again angle, which they're doing now, they're saying he doesn't want to do drugs and he doesn't want to pop pills and all this stuff. If they really want to do this, Shawn Michaels is a new kind of changed person angle, it better have Vince McMahon, and I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I hate fantasy booking, but honestly, have Vince McMahon come out and start bringing up things from their past. Have Vince McMahon come out and start telling lies about things that happened in the past of WWE. And, I mean, it just, to me, it seems like such a natural thing for them to do. Shawn Michaels has been with the company for so long. Vince McMahon has been with the company for so long. At this point, The fans that are watching, I mean, a lot of them are familiar with the history of WWE. And why is that? Well, not because they're hardcore fans, because that's always used to be the big argument. You know, well, a lot of people who watch didn't watch 10 years ago. I get that. But you know what? It's 2006. You didn't have to watch 10 years ago. The McMahons are shoving so much nostalgia down your throat that you could have watched 3 weeks ago for the first time and know who all these people are and know what they were involved in. It's all over the DVDs. It's all in the magazine. It's 24/7. It's online. You name it. You got it. WWE is making its history kind of more accessible than they used to. So then, on top of that, to take two guys now who have all this history, which WWE is focusing on, and to not focus on that, but instead focus on throwing pee at each other. I just said that, throwing pee at each other. Focusing on throwing pee at each other, it doesn't make any sense to me. I think it takes away from it. And it's really a silly angle that can be saved for somebody else. And I think that Vince McMahon, I know he finds it funny and all that, but it trivializes the biggest event that he has of the year. It trivializes a conflict that he hasn't had yet, that a lot of people, I mean myself included, were looking forward to seeing how he booked. And this isn't booked well. And it's not coming together, in my opinion, any way close to what an HBK, VKM, WM match should be. Instead, it kind of comes off as silly. Silly, silly, silly. But, you know, let's see if you guys agreed or not. Actually, he did agree because, well, he voted for it. And T-Dog231X says it has to be the Piss in a Cup segment. Not for the segment itself, which wasn't that bad, and I agree. But for the undertones of the segment, of which there are too many for me to explain here. Just like last week's moment of insanity, it taps into recent real life for the sake of the McMahon-Michaels storyline. For me, it was a matter of time for them to use a talent wellness program on camera, even if they didn't mention it by name. Yeah, I mean, that's the other aspect of this that it kind of gets you and makes you wonder what the hell is wrong with these people. And I'm not as shocked as I think a lot of people are. A lot of people are amazed that Vince McMahon would use his talent wellness program, which is the drug program instituted following the death of Eddie Guerrero, to help wrestlers who have drug problems. I'm going to say help wrestlers, that's not true at all. WWE's drug program, which is being done, three strikes, you're out. You know, you do drugs, you call it once, blah, 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 two, three, you're out, you're fired. I get it, I understand the whole thing, and it's supposed to be WWE's behind-the-scenes regulating of themselves. And then that's cool. People have a problem with them using it for on-air storyline purposes. And again, I agree. I think it's wrong. I think it's a mistake on Vince McMahon's part. I think it's him continuing to kind of blur the line on when reality is and where fantasy is in WWE. And with things like that, and this is what's funny about it, and we said this a few weeks ago, when Vince had that issue with the tanning salon, okay, which could still, you know, more things could probably still come out of that as far as press coverage. When that first happened, people were reporting crazy shit left and right. You name it, they were reporting Vince was getting divorced from Linda, and they were reporting all this crazy stuff. Newspapers refused to correct it. Why did that newspaper refuse to correct it? Well, because in WWE, so many of the lines between reality and fantasy are blurred. If I was Vince, the last thing I would want to do now is blur the line between fantasy and reality as it relates to the drug program that he instituted for public relation purposes. I don't know the talent wellness program personally. I wasn't there when they instituted it. I didn't work with the doctors who put it together. However, I do have a strong feeling, I think a lot of you guys do, and if you look at it, I mean, it's kind of obvious, it's a public relations thing. They want to get people who have had issues with the drug usage in WWE and the premature deaths to turn around and say, well, at least the McMahons are doing something about it. At least they're instituting a program to fix that. So he does that to kind of get everybody to smile and shut up, you know. And then to use it for on-air fodder, it's like, well, what are you doing? You know, if you're doing it for public relation purposes, why mock it in a storyline sense? And what doesn't really shock me about the whole thing is because they used Eddie Guerrero's death so recently. So I think WWE has reached the point now where either they're so much in the bubble that they don't know how they're perceived by outsiders, or WWE just doesn't give a shit anymore. And in their opinion, any single thing that's done in that company is going to be on-air real or otherwise, you know, from Matt Hardy versus Edge to Eddie Guerrero's death to the talent wellness program, every single thing that happens off air is fair game, even if it's not even that enjoyable. I mean, I don't know. I want to know which one of them was sitting around and went, you know what would be great for an on-air storyline? The drug program. Why don't we do the drug program? I mean, to me, it's just silly. It's like, I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know. I don't even know where to go with it. I never really thought when they first introduced it that it would be something that they could work into a storyline. And it just makes you wonder, you know, what they're thinking here. I don't get it. Wolfchild totally agrees with T-Dogs. His first Vince wants Sean to do drugs. Now he wants to suspend him for it. Then we have the real-life WWE not wanting his talent to use drugs and will suspend them for it. We have a wrestler who died from a drug overdose. And we have the heel wrestler telling kids, it's Vince McMahon, not to be like Shawn Michaels because he did drugs. Don't do drugs, just say no, etc., etc. Well, if I was a kid, wouldn't I want to do drugs just like my hero and not listen to the heel? That's a good point that he brought up. Finally, he talks about the drugging of Stephanie, which is another aspect. I mean, there's so many points to this moment of insanity. It's all over the place. Wolfshot brought up two interesting points. First of all, the Stephanie McMahon thing that we talked about last week where she drugged Shawn Michaels' water. For some reason, all the announcers knew about it this week, which makes you wonder why they don't talk to anybody during the week, because it wouldn't have taken much for them to say, well, it's on video, take a look. You know, Shawn Michaels introduced the video and say, well, I didn't do drugs. Look, your pregnant daughter put that in my water, which rhymes. And it could have shown on the Titantron, and you would have been good. They didn't do that. But the other thing that he brought up was that Vince McMahon went into this little speech, and I couldn't figure out what side of irony he was trying to get on here. I could tell that there was something to the speech, and they were going for some sort of twisted, kind of symbolic, ironic statement within it, but I couldn't tell what it was. Vince went up to the camera, and he was like, well, kids, don't do drugs. Don't be like Shawn Michaels. Don't do, you know, Shawn Michaels drugs. And you watched, and you were just kind of like, you knew that there was something to it, but you couldn't really figure out how they were perceiving it in their head. I can't figure out a lot of things that they perceive in their head. But Wolfchild brings up a good point. Vince McMahon is a heel, and he's telling kids not to do drugs like Shawn Michaels. I mean, I know WWE didn't think it would come off like that, but he actually brings up a good point. If you're an idiot, you know, and you're watching WWE, you could say, well, Vince says not to do drugs, so you know, let me go smoke some of that crack. And then now they're all crackheads, Vince. Good job. Nice. Good job. We'll blame you for that, too. Yeah, guys, I mean, we can belabor this point and go on all day, but the bottom line is Shane and Vince McMahon had urine dripping from their faces on Monday Night Raw, and that's how they opened the show, and that's how they're selling their match for WrestleMania. If that's not the moment of insanity, then I don't know what is. Yeah, guys, so there you have it. Remember, voting starts now for next week's Moment of Insanity. Go to my section of the Insanity message boards, the Insanity forums, if you will. Vote away. Anything crazy in wrestling, feel free. Let us know what it is. Or you can send an email to insanity@worldwrestlinginsanity.com. Yeah, maybe there'll be more pee on Raw. I mean, hell, that's why I watch Raw for urine. All right, guys, now it's time for you to go over to part two. Just like when you were a kid and you get those books and records together and they would say, please put the record over for part two, and then you can hear the rest of your story. Well, go to part two and you can hear Jimmy Hart talking a little bit about his time in the business, talking a little bit about Hulk Hogan, Jeff Jarrett, the video games that he's worked on, the music that he's worked on, TNA, Carmen Electra, you name it. He talks about it. Part two. Go check it out right now and don't get lost. Eat your heart out, Rick Springfield. We'll see you guys there.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.